Okay, Haxamea once again. Enjoy every time I get a chance to say that because the feast goes so fast. And praise Yahweh for that. I have a message I'm going to give today from a new class that I developed at the Bible school called The Incredible Human Potential. And I've mentioned it before, but some of you were actually here. The school we had this time, and I've been doing that school for 20 some odd years, we never had a program like we had this year. And right here, you know, it brings back memories, you know, sitting in this chair, and some of the brethren were saying that being here again. And I've always said it, I've always known, you know, one of the things that started the school was people coming to the feast and seeing how much 1 week changed people, you know, because it is. You come to the Holy Land and you're in Jerusalem and, you know, and the emotional aspect that's coming out. But then I noticed that, like, as people went back, it didn't stick, you know, that it was more emotional. It wasn't really foundational. And I said, we need to get more into this. We need to do this longer. And we've had school programs, all different kinds of programs. I think almost everybody in this room, or a lot of you, at least 2/3, have been to one program or another. We've had programs where we had 6 months opons learning Hebrew. You know, we've had programs on Ambassador. We've had programs on, you know, all the land of Israel, the archaeology. And every program in itself was wonderful. But there was just nothing like this. This program that I'm doing now, because of how close we're getting to the end, is really on conditioning the brethren for that. Because I know from Scripture, many people ain't going to make it. It's life and death. And Yahweh has really instilled in me, you got to get them prepared. The time is short. So in the past in the school, I more or less ran the schools in a way where, I mean, I put the program out there, but I didn't challenge people more than they were willing to be challenged. And this year I did. This year I felt more like, you know, I got to challenge you. I wouldn't be doing my responsibility before Yahweh if I wasn't. And never before, in all the years we did it, did every single person. There's always, like, you know, it's always the majority of the people come out good, but there's always that last couple. But this time, I mean, we saw some miracles and really lasting change, which was awesome. So this was one of the big courses, different courses that I've never done before. I'm going to be talking a lot about this, you know, in the coming months and probably, we're willing, years ahead. But on the incredible human potential, because I don't believe that even as believers we really understand that potential, you know, what we're here for. And, you know, when you think about it, and I hope that video we showed last night really opened up your minds to some. We are being conditioned. You know, we are living in Satan's society, and you're being conditioned every day of your life. You know, by the time you wake up, from the food you're eating, the job you're working, the billboards you're seeing, the video you're watching, everything is conditioning you, and not toward anything good. It's conditioning you to be a servant of the system. And Yahweh called us for something completely different. He called us out, you know, and 1 out of 5 million people out there to be his ambassador to bring this good news of what's coming. And because of the conditioning and same system, we're born into a system where we don't realize that. And we're born into a system of failure. You know, 99% of people in this world fail. And the big thing the last couple of years is the one percenters, right? And everybody's mad and they want to go out and kill George Soros and all this other stuff because of these one percenters. But hey, don't get mad at these people just because they happen to make a lot of money, you know? Get mad at yourself for not fulfilling your great potential. So yes, do they put borders there before you? Do they try to stop you? Of course they do, but we have something they don't have. We have the Ruach HaKodesh. We have Yahweh's backing behind us. But it's a mindset you got to live in every single day. So today I'm going to talk about this for a short time, but at the school, this is like the foundation for a month of getting people to change those old associations, and it does take time. You know, and even, you know, I haven't been in total contact with everybody since they left, but I pray, some of you are here that were here, I pray since you left, you're continuing to do those neural associations so you don't go back to the old way. You know, because the key is, it is totally possible to fulfill your great human potential. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, according as it has been written, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it risen in the hearts of men, the things which Yahweh has prepared for those that love him. Wow. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it risen in the hearts of men, the things which Yahweh has prepared for those that love him. And it is. Even when we know it, we don't fully know it. You know, we look through a glass half darkened. You know, but we have to have that as our focus. We have to narrow our focus in this life, or you'll never fulfill your potential. And the first thing is, you got to know what that potential is if you're going to fulfill it. And most people just randomly go day to day. Satan is a master at stealing time. You know, in the Great Falling Away book, you know, I have this paper that somebody gave me years and years ago about Satan having this meeting with all his demons, you know, on steal their time. You know, you can't stop them from a relationship with Yahweh. You don't have ability to stop their free will, but steal their time, take their time with all kinds of ends of useless stuff. If you've never read it, go to the Great Falling Away and read that. It's really, really interesting because it's true. So, like I said, in Satan's society, we're conditioned to fail from birth. You know, we tend to focus on the world, which is a world of destruction and terror and war, but we have to focus on our great destiny that's coming. Because actually, even in a horrific world we're living in, you know, we should have joy in our life every day. Because our destiny is not the horrors of this world. Our destiny is the kingdom of Yahweh. So like I said, in Satan's society, we're conditioned to fail from birth. And it's a mindset that people accept. You know, that's one of the reasons why, from a young kid, and for different reasons, it wasn't for good reasons, I wanted to be wealthy because I wanted to be independent, but I knew I was never going to work a job. That's why my family wanted me to go to college. I went to college, you know, because I did good on math tests, and I was told, you're going to be an accountant someday, and I'm like, I doubt that. But in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, you could give me $20 an hour, $50 an hour, $100. I don't care the amount you're giving me. I don't want it. You know why? Because now I'm limited. I'm limited what I can do. I'd rather take the risk going my own business, and then I could make nothing, or I could make $1 million in a day. And there's days I've made $50,000, $60,000 in one day in business. And I loved it. Because I didn't want Social Security. I wasn't looking for somebody else to take care of me. I was good with that. If I fail, okay, it's on me. If I'm homeless when I'm, you know, 60 years old, that's on me. But you know what? Nobody's going to stop my potential. Because I felt very confident, and like I said, in those days, for the wrong reasons of things Yahweh gave me. As a kid, you know, I didn't do what normal kids did. I was 10 years old, and I'm playing real estate. I'm going in the New York Times and taking all the things out and going around my house and building these little with towels and with blankets houses, and I'm making believe I'm selling these houses and buying these houses and doing it. It was just in my mind from a little kid, but I never wanted my potential to be minimalized, and that's why I didn't want to work. And I understand not everybody has that. For some people, it's the opposite. Getting that check at the end of the week is security. And there's a fear, if I'm working for myself, what if I don't make it? What if my business goes under? We see during COVID, a lot of people went out of business and lose it. So it's not for everybody. But our potential in the kingdom of Yahweh is for everybody. That is for everybody. But it's got to be a mindset. You've got to have a mindset of the sky is the limit. You can't limit yourself in this life. And most of the time, that's what we do. You know, because when we brainstorm and we think of this is really what the school is about. It's about finding out what your gifts are and putting that into, you know, functional ministry plans. And people may come and not know what their gifts are, but they surely know when they leave. People may come not knowing a ministry plan, but they sure have one when they leave. Because you have to know, and that's what Yahweh expects from us. He expects from the gifts he's given us for us to use these gifts to bear more fruit for his kingdom. And if we don't, there's accountability, as we're going to see here later in the message. So failure is the normalcy bias that we need to change. That's what we're conditioned to. We're conditioned that it's okay to just accept it. But as I say, success is 80% psychological and only 20% skill. So that was the thing with me. When I was younger, I had no problem going in any business. It didn't matter whether I knew about it or not, because I knew business. I knew how to run a business. So if I didn't know the particular business, I could always hire a manager who knows how to run a restaurant or knows how to do this, whatever it is. but I knew how to run the business itself. And that's why I say success is 80% psychological and only 20% skill. The skill's important, but you got to believe it. And I see sometimes, I see people with the most amazing skill in the world, and they never utilize it, you know, because they don't have that psychological mentality of using it. Faith is simply belief, as we learned here, but you must have belief not only in Yahweh, but you have to have belief in the great human potential that he's giving you. You got to believe it. He says he didn't call any of us for nothing. So the fact that you're called, the fact that you're baptized, the fact that you're sitting in a chair brings accountability. So we got to believe in that. You got to believe in the purpose he's called in your life. Philippians 4:13. You know, I say that in the school because nobody's taking any credit for themselves. We do all things for Yeshua, who gave me the strength. So we know that. That's a precondition. We don't have to keep coming back thinking of, I don't want to get too pride, because it's not pride, you know? Because any gift Yahweh gave you, he could have easily given it to somebody else. You know, I don't play the violin. He could have given me the gift of the violin, somebody else the gift of teaching. So it's his gift. So I can't take any credit. Where is the boasting? But I certainly can take the gift he's given me and use it to the best of my ability. So like I said, if it was the violin, then I'd be here playing like Mozart. And if I couldn't, I'd learn how. Because I'd want to fulfill it to the greatest ability. So that's what the Bible says, you know, like when it talks about spiritual gifts, right? The one who has the wisdom, do it with diligence. Every gift is to be used to the greatest of our ability. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make mankind in our image according to our likeness. Do we get what that means? Wow! Yahweh creates all this stuff. He creates the birds, he creates the fish, he creates the animals. You know, it's just in that he named them. He's not like Adam that just popped up and sees these things and, ox, okay, call, you know, calling them by names. No, Yahweh created all this stuff. And then he creates us. He creates out of dirt and water, right? And the minerals that are in our body, that it's kind of a miracle too, that even though you could name those minerals, how it makes us a human being is a miracle in itself. But Yahweh says, I'm making you according to my image, in my own likeness. And not the fish is made in the image of the fish, you know, the cow is made in the image of the cow kind, but we're made in the image of the Yahweh kind, the Elohim kind. We're made in his very image. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and the cattle and the earth and all the creepers of the earth. So we're not here. We have dominion over all these things. And like I said, you don't see the fish out there getting together, you know, and saying, hey, you know, it's going to be a bad winter. Let's all pack up together and let's swim up to Canada and stay there. They don't think that way. Yahweh's given us a mind to create, to think, to be like him. And Satan, through this system of commercial Babylon, is stunting it. It's getting us where we're so, and that's why I say, you get so defensive that your life is so filled with, you know, money worries and this worry and that worry, that we never have any time to be offensive, to get that plan of action together, to write it down, to say it, to do it, and fulfill it. And then verse 27, Elohim created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created them. He created them male and female. So here it is. We're made in the image of Elohim, in his own image. But we have to grow in his likeness. We got to grow in his likeness. And that takes character building. And Elohim blessed them, the humans. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. The same thing Yeshua said in the parable of the sower and the seed. Right? Genesis 1 is not about planting tomatoes. Not that I'm against it. I love planting tomatoes. We just planted tomatoes right before we came out here. And also all kinds of other plants. But that's not what it's about. It's an analogy. I mean, can you imagine? He's creating the world and the universe and everything else. And the biggest thing he's going to tell man, make sure you get a good garden. That would be an Elohim after my own heart, right? But that's not what it's about. We know it. We know when you parallel this in the New Testament with Yeshua, he's using this as an analogy of the fruit that we have to bear in our life, meaningly bringing more people to salvation, sharing our salvation with other people. And that's what the Great Commission is about. We do it as a group, you know, as a congregation, but we also do it individually. You know, just like in a government, there's a president, there's a vice president, there's a secretary of state, there's all these different people that have jobs, right? And everybody's job is important. So if your job is the secretary of agriculture, you know, the president isn't there figuring out the land, is it good, and checking for the chemicals in the land to make sure there's enough minerals. That's the minister who's in charge of that. So it's the same way here. You know, we have a congregation, and from Jerusalem, you know, we are bringing this good news, and, you know, we go and we set up congregations, and we have a worldwide preaching work, and we have the Matthew 24 program. But on a local level, every brother or sister should be doing the same thing. Maybe not in the same way, but you should have some kind of ministry. Or what are you doing here? You know? What are you doing here? What are you sitting in the chair for if you're not doing something? And Yahweh's word says it. It's a responsibility before Him. And I say, it boggles my mind that sometimes human beings can go to, you know, Satan's school for 15, 20, 25 years sometimes. Sometimes when you get out of the school, you have to go to by law sometimes. People will go to college and then get a master's degree and this degree and a doctorate degree and all this stuff and spend all that years. And most of these jobs that will not be here in a few years when the kingdom comes. And yet, you know, I look over the years how many people had opportunity to come to the school and didn't. For a month. Sometimes, you know, 2 months or 3 months, but a short opportunity in your life that can change your life, that can make that same rut you're going in over and over and magnify the fruit that you're bringing to Yahweh. But you got to get your focus on it. And again, of course, I know most people can't come to the school. I know a lot of people want to come and can't come. So, but you still, whether you come to the school or not, you still have to magnify your fruit. You still have to do it. You have to bear fruit before Yahweh, and you have to grow like this. Yahweh called us to become creators the way He is a creator. Psalm 139 in verse 13. Psalm 139 verse 13. Look what He says. For You have possessed me in my inward parts. You wove me in the womb of my mother. I will thank You, for with fearful things I am wonderful. Your works are marvelous. My soul knows it very well. My bones were not hidden from You when I was made in secret, when I was woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me as an embryo, and Your book, all my members, were written in the days they were formed, and not one was yet among them. And how precious are Your thoughts to me, O El. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with You. So here it is. I mean, how on earth can people say that an embryo is not life? And not only is it life, that you're not an accident. You're sitting there, and everything about you, you have special DNA and special fingerprints and even, you know, thumbprints and all this stuff. And Yahweh created you. Yahweh knew exactly when you were being formed. He knew you from the day you were born. He's followed you every day of your life. And all He wants is the best for you. He just wants you to fulfill the great purpose that you've been called for. So I just want to read here some facts about the human body that you might know some of them, maybe not. But some amazing facts that maybe you never thought of before, because the human body is a miracle in itself. You know, and that's why evolution is so ridiculous, that you could take a body as intricate as a human body and how the body works and how it heals itself, all the premises of it, and to think that it could just all come from an explosion. You know, I've lived in Israel for many years. I've seen a lot of explosions, and like I said, explosions bring chaos and death. Explosions don't bring order. So if we went outside and we took a whole bunch of stuff and put it there and we put a stick of dynamite and blew it up, it wouldn't all of a sudden be, you know, in order in this thing. It would be chaos. But just to give you some facts, the largest bone in the human body is called the femur. It can support 30 times the weight of a person's body. Ounce for ounce, it's stronger than steel. Stronger than steel, if you imagine a bone. Messages from the human brain travel along nerves up to 200 miles an hour, 322 kilometers. Can you imagine? 200 miles an hour, messages from the human brain. It would take somebody typing 60 words a minute 8 hours a day, around 50 years, to type the human genome. 60 words a minute, 8 hours a day, would take you 50 years to type the genome. If a human being's DNA was uncoiled, it would stretch 10 billion miles from Earth to Pluto and back. One person's DNA. You know, DNA really topped it. When they started finding out about DNA, that's where there's no way evolution could be there, you know, that they could work that way. And then recently, you know, to find out Yahweh's gematry being the connecting point of all DNA. But wow, 10 billion miles to Earth and Pluto and back, one person's DNA. Every hour, humans shed about 600,000 particles of skin, or about 1.5 pounds every year. By the time a person is 70 years old, they would have lost 105 pounds of skin. Now, I heard a lot of diets before, right? I never heard the skin diet. Amazing. The brain contains 86 billion nerve cells joined by 100 trillion connections. 86 billion nerve cells joined by 100 trillion connections. This is more than the stars in the Milky Way. One brain. Like fingerprints, every human being has its own unique tongue print. And I hope they don't start that at airports. Because that'll be it. My traveling days will be over. The lining in a person's stomach is replaced every 4 to 5 days to prevent it from digesting itself. Can you imagine every day? Every day your body creates, or every 4 or 5 days, stomach lining. It also creates new skin, like we saw, and even bones. Your body reproduces itself over time. And that's why, you know, doctors say, like, if you had a tumor and it was a cancerous tumor, a year from now, it's not the same tumor because your body changes. And how you change your body and change your mentality will be how that tumor will change. It could be gone completely, it could be bigger, it could be, but it's not the same. And that's the point. That's why Satan wants us to be conditioned on failure. He doesn't want us to be conditioned on overcoming. A human sneeze can travel 100 miles an hour or more. We're not going to have any sneezing contests, don't worry. Your spit, right? When you spit, it contains your entire genetic blueprint. One spit. The liver, the largest internal organ, is the only organ that can regenerate itself. However, repeated damage to the liver can eventually injure and scar this amazing organ. We could sit here for an hour just talking about your liver, what your liver does and how it cleanses your blood and your body and everything. The human brain uses just as much power as a 10-watt light bulb. Right? We had light go out. Maybe we need a ladder and somebody to stick their head up on the roof. Your brain uses as much power as a 10-watt light bulb. There are so many nerve cells in the human brain that it would take almost 3,000 years to count them. An adult skin weighs between 8 and 11 pounds, 3.6 to 5 kilos. Its surface is about 18 to 22 square feet, 1.7 to 2 square meters, which is the size of the floor of a one-person tent. You know, and when I read this, I was thinking about like when they skinned like bears and stuff, you know, you see the skin that's there. An average person walks 100,000 miles, 100,060 kilometers in his or her lifetime, which is like walking around the world 4 times at the equator. It's amazing. I know I try to walk 4 or 5 times a week. And sometimes it's amazing where you start to walk and it's only a few minutes and you look back where you came from and you're like, wow, how can legs go that fast? An adult is made up of 7 octillion atoms. That's a 7 with 27 zeros. That's how many atoms a human being is made from. In an adult human, blood circulates about 12,000 miles, 19,000 kilometers a day. It's like traveling from east to west across the widest part of the Pacific Ocean. So here it is, you're not turning on a button, you know, it's not like when you make juice and you have a mixer there, right? But your blood is traveling 19,000 kilometers per day. All these things that Yahweh inherited from it. A human heartbeat beats over 3 billion times during an average lifespan. A human eye can distinguish between approximately 10 million different colors. On its own. And just the eye itself, when you understand how it works and how it comes in, turns and sees, it's absolutely amazing. And the greatest of all creation is mankind itself, himself, herself. The marvelous machine, precise and efficient. The human body has a dynamic framework of bone and cartilage called the skeleton. The human skeleton is flexible with hinges and joints that were made to move. But to cut down harmful frictions, such moving parts must be lubricated. Man-made machines are lubricated only by outside sources, but the body lubricates itself by manufacturing a jelly-like substance in the right amount at every place that's needed. That does not happen with evolution. That only happens by creative design by a creator. So there's a lot more. I just kind of hit some of the highlights just to show you, you know, the amazing human body that Yahweh made us with. And we don't think about it. And that's why, you know, the scripture says, you know, our body is the sanctuary of the Ruach HaKodesh. And although we're not living to preserve this body for eternity, you do want to preserve it while you have it. And the body is an amazing gift that Yahweh has given us. Psalm 8. One through nine. O Yahweh, our Master, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of the ones distressing you, to cause the enemy and the avenger to cease. When I look upon the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you fixed, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him lack a little from Elohim, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. We just read that in Genesis 1. All flocks and oxen, also the animals of the field, and the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, all that passes through the sea. O Yahweh, our Master, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wow. What Yahweh has done, the gift that he's given us, the life that he's given us, is just absolutely amazing. And we need to understand and fulfill that potential. Psalm 82. Psalm 82 in verse 6. Says, I have said you are Elohim. He's talking to humans now. I have said you are Elohim, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Wow. And that is our potential. Our potential is to become spirit beings and children of Yahweh in his kingdom forever. It's hard to concept, because like I said, everything in our life from the day you're born is timed. We have so many days of life on this earth. You see it as you get. And when you think about it, though, I used to think life was long until recently, because now the time goes so fast, you know, 60, 80 years doesn't seem like anything. But when you think of eternity, you know, no beginning, no end is just inconceivable. And that's what Yahweh said. That's what he gave us. He said, you are Elohim and sons of the Most High. Wow. What a truly Elohim we serve. We will be transformed into spirit to be full family members with Yahweh and Yeshua ruling with them. And like I said, Genesis 1:28, we are, though, if we want to be there, we have to bear fruit and multiply and accomplish to fill the land. And this message will go out to our congregation around the world. And my question is, what are you doing for that? You know, thinking of being a co-heir of the universe, right? And being with Yahweh over the entire universe, what is your part? What are you doing every day for that? You know, minimal-wise, we should at least be, you know, reading, you know, scripture and praying. But those are requirements that we have to do just for ourselves, just to keep our mindset. But what are you doing? What is your ministry? What part do you have in this? Because if you don't have a part in it now, you're not going to have a part in it later. That's why Yeshua said, unless the kingdom of Yahweh is within you, you will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. And it's this thing, this Sunday Christian type mentality, and like I said, unfortunately most of us come from Christianity, that we think we're doing better than the Sunday Christian because we're meeting on Saturday, we're not eating pork, you know, and we're keeping Sukkot instead of keeping Christmas. And again, those are only things that Yahweh does to bring us to a greater reality of His truth. But that is not bearing fruit. It's bearing nothing, you know. It's a commandment, but it's not bearing fruit for His kingdom by doing that. And what is your day? You know, that's one of the first things we have the students do when they come, even now before. I actually start the school about 3 weeks beforehand to get the people prepared, and we do it through the internet. But I have them write a planner of your day from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. And then look at that planner. Who are you living for? You're living for yourself or you're living for Yahweh? How much time is spent on ministry, on bearing fruit? It's a requirement. And if we're going to fulfill this great potential, we got to do it. John 3, in verse 3. John 3, in verse 3. And this is when Nicodemus came to Yeshua, right? And Yeshua answered him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man is not born again, he is not able to see the kingdom of Yahweh." And Nicodemus said to him, "How is it possible to enter the womb of his mother the second time and be born?" And Yeshua answered, "Truly I say to you that if a man is not born from water and spirit, he is not able to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. The thing which is born from flesh is flesh, and the thing which is born from spirit is spirit. Do not wonder because I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind will blow where it desires, and you hear its voice, but you do not know where it comes or where it goes. Likewise is everyone born from the spirit," right? So, this is what it's about. This is what baptism is the beginning of. Baptism is the beginning of dying to the old life and being coming up and getting the Ruach HaKodesh, just a down payment of it, and starting to get that. But you're only, it's like a baby in a womb. When a baby is conceived, day one, day two, day three, that baby is informed. It's life, but it's not formed. It takes 9 months. And that's what we're like. After baptism, it takes the rest of our life to be nurtured until the time Yeshua comes where we shed these bodies and we will be born again into His kingdom. That's why Yeshua is the firstborn from the dead. That's what being born again is. It's not an emotional experience like some of these born again people think. And like it says, everyone born from the Spirit is like the wind. So I have a very simple way to find out if somebody's born again. If somebody comes up to you, a Christian, says, "No, I'm already born again," stick him with a pin. And if he screams, he's not born again. Give him the pin test. Because everyone born again is like the Spirit, you know? So if somebody thinks he's born again, you know, sometimes, like we say, break the pattern. You got to shock him. Make sure it's a big pin. Big safety pin. Genesis 3 in verse 17. Because you know what? From the beginning, Adam did not cherish. He didn't internalize what I'm going over today. Adam was the first teacher that Yahweh set apart in the garden to teach things, and he should have been sitting in this chair, you know, teaching and bringing more people into the kingdom, but he chose a different path. And there was a penalty that not only he paid, but we've all been paying since that time. Genesis 3 in verse 17. And this is his punishment for not fulfilling his purpose. And he said to the man, to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the fruit about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' the ground will be cursed because of you. You will eat of it in sorrow all the days of your life, and it will bring forth thorns and thistles to you, and you will eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat your bread until you return to the ground. For you have been taken out of it, for dust you shall return." So, in the Garden of Eden, there were no weeds, you know. There were no restrictions with plants. We know in the kingdom, the trees are going to, every month, are going to have fruit on them. But because of Adam choosing to be part of the system of commercial Babylon, of Satan, instead of the kingdom of Yahweh, he opened up the door. And every human being, all of us, we've all chosen the same way. That's what repentance is about. It's about turning from that way of commercial Babylon, Satan, to the way of the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what we're doing at our baptism. And of course, all the sins that came along with it. So Adam lost a kingdom. He didn't lose a religion. Religion is something that is man-made. It's something that doesn't help your relationship with Yahweh. It actually restricts it. There is no such word as religion in Scripture, right? It's about relationship. It's not about religion. So Adam lost a kingdom, not a religion, and mankind will now struggle to fulfill his great potential. And this is why, as people are born, like I said, they're born into a system of failure, and they're taught failure from birth, and it's okay. And we have to change our mindset, you know? You have to change your mindset, you have to get new neural associations, and you have to realize that's not why you were created. You were not created to fail. You were created to be a spirit being of the child of the Most High in heaven. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones and them that sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua and because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast nor its image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah and reign with him 1,000 years. Priests of Yahweh, kings and priests. So remember, because of Adam's rejection of Yahweh, the king and the priesthood separated. So we know in this world, right, in Israel, you had Levi as the priest, but you had Judah as the king. We're in the kingdom, like Yeshua. Yeshua is the king and the priest, and we will be kings and priests, both. And when you look at Levi, that's only a shadow. What were some of the restrictions of Levi as a priest? He couldn't own private property. He couldn't have his own land. He couldn't have certainly didn't have a night job. He wasn't delivering pizzas at night. He's serving Yahweh day and night. That was his job. That's what he set apart for. And here we are in the real priesthood. Levi's only a shadow. We are the Melchizedek priests. What are we doing? Are we taking that serious? Do we have a ministry? Are we serving Yahweh? You know, or is it only talk? Micah 4. Because as we read here in Revelation, when Yeshua returns, right, we have to prepare now to be ready for day one. Day one in the kingdom, the training isn't going to be then, the training is now. Because when day one comes, he's got an envelope for each of us. Yeshua returns and his reward is with him to give each according to what? According to his grace? No. The grace is what got us there. Our position is according to our deeds, our works. If you have no deed, there'll be no envelope. And you don't want to be there, you know, as Yeshua's handing all these envelopes out, and you're the last guy standing there, and everyone's gone, and you're wondering, where's my envelope? Everyone sitting in these chairs, and everybody watching this now, has the Ruach HaKodesh, if you've been baptized, and you have gifts that Yahweh's giving you, and you are required to use those gifts for his kingdom. That is our main purpose in life. Now granted, you know, because of our dear forefather, Adam, we are living in this system when we do have to pay our bills, and we do have to work, and we do have to eat. So that's our big challenge in life. We have to figure out, how can I do one without neglecting the other? And this is one of the things why I like being in my own business. Because I learned a long time ago, when I was young, I got my first like job on the books when I was 14 years old. I was working at a Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, I forget at that time, you know, whatever minimum wage was, $2.50 an hour. But, you know, you work 10 hours and you, oh, I make $25, this is good. I'm going to work 20 hours, I'm going to work 40 hours, then I'm going to work, you know, in the summer I'll work 90 hours. Then there's a point where you realize you can't work any more hours. But then this other guy sees me and says, hey, I'll give you a job. Come over here and unload these trucks. I'll pay you $5 an hour for unloading the trucks. And I'm all of a sudden like, wow, I'm making double the money in the same amount of time. And I started to realize it's not the time that you put into a job. It's the compensation you're getting, right? So this is where you have to figure out, how can I, in this world, get enough compensation in a short amount of time to pay my bills, but have the majority of my time to serve Yahweh. And you got to brainstorm. You know, it's doable. It's hard. It's not easy, but it's doable. But that's the potential Yahweh's given us. We got that amazing brain. We got His Spirit in us, and we can do it. We can do it. I love that. The greatest part of my life is when I'm brainstorming. I love challenges because I love to sit there and figure out how to overcome it. That's something that Yahweh gave us. So we can't look at that as a negative way. We got to look at that as a positive way and figure out how to do it. And there are ways to do it. And I'm hoping even as a congregation, we could do things more. You know, as communities, I have ideas in my mind how communities can, you know, get money to support themselves. Some of our communities are already doing it. They have a restaurant in the community. They're selling this. They're selling that. You know, so this is where we need to brainstorm as a people to be able to. But the time is the thing that no matter who you are, like I said, if you're Donald Esposito or you're Donald Trump, you got 24 hours in a day. Money doesn't give you more time. Money doesn't buy you more time. So that's the time that Yahweh allotted, and that's what we have to do now is figure out how I can separate that time and still fulfill, you know, my earthly commitments as a human being, to family, whatever, but still have that time on working for Yahweh. Micah 4, because like I said, we got to be ready for day one. And this is what our great destiny and hope is. For behold, the day is coming. Whoop, I'm in Malachi. Maybe I'll read that later because that is also a very good scripture. But right now, I want to read Micah. Micah 4 and verse 1. But it shall be in the end of the days, the mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established on the top of the mountains, right? So what is it saying? Just like the places of worship were always at the highest point because you're trying to get closer to Yahweh, closer to heaven. And he's saying here that the mountain of Yahweh is going to be the highest point. It's the highest authority that's on the earth. That's where it's coming from. And it will be lifted up from the hills. So the hills that were shorter before, right? Before we may have only been able to reach the hill. Now when Yeshua returns, we're all going to be on those high mountains. And people will flow onto it. And many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us from his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah will go forth out of Mount Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. That's why we're a congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. It's because that's where Yahweh's word started. That's where his doctrine comes from. But it's a worldwide work. You know, that's what it is. Today, Jerusalem is a corrupted place. You know? And it will be redeemed, and Yeshua will do that, but always that is where the word comes from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between many people and will decide for strong nations afar. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift the sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Wow, what a great time. That's why we're sitting here. That's what Sukkot is all about. You know, it's about us preparing for this time. But each one will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and there will be no trembling, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken. So that's why I say we don't have to fear all these things. You know, we have to be, the Bible says, watch and pray. We have to be knowledgeable of them so that we don't partake in some of these things. But we have to be looking forward to this. We will be the leaders in this retraining process. What are you doing about it? You know, we will be the leaders of this. Matthew 28 in verse 18. And coming up, Yeshua talked with them, his disciples and the apostles, saying, all authority in heaven and earth was given to me, to Yeshua. Then having gone, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. So this is not a commission just to the elders, this is a commission to every New Testament believer from that time until today, until he returns. That is our commission. That is our marching orders. That is what each person is called to do, to be a part of this. A part of this. Of bearing fruit for his kingdom. That is the Great Commission. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. It says, even from Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him loving us and washing us from our sins with his blood. And he made us kings and priests to Yahweh, even his Father. To him is the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. So, we will be kings and priests unto him. And, you know, I look at the royal family, and like I say, not that they're the greatest example in everything, but in one thing, they are a good example, is that from the time a child is born into the royal family, like take Prince William, they are set apart and trained from birth for their destiny. They know it from their birth. And some of the things that they're trained for is by going in the military, by serving people, so that they're not, you know, don't get an attitude of they're above people. Like Yeshua said, he who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. So one way we learn is by serving. You know, like the Matthew 24 Project, part of it is, you know, go to soup kitchens, you know, go to hospitals, go anywhere, you know, to be doing some kind of service to people, because that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. But you have to know your destiny to prepare for it. And do you think about it every day? Write it on your refrigerator and put it there. You know, I am a king and a priest of Yahweh. That has to be foremost on your mind day and night. And every day of your life, do you have a plan on living toward that? Because that is what our destiny says, you know, and it won't just happen. You have to prepare for it. Matthew 13 and verse 10. Matthew 13, in verse 10. And coming near, the disciples said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And answering, he said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to those. For whoever has, right? Whoever is doing it, whoever has, whoever is bearing fruit, to him will be given, and he will have overabundance. But whoever does not have, the one who is doing nothing, even what he has will be taken from him, right? So, you're quenching the spirit if you're not using your spiritual gifts. So why would Yahweh give you a spiritual gift? Because he doesn't give the same gifts to everybody. He gives us different gifts so that we come together as a body. Why would he give you a gift if you're just putting it inside of you and not using it? If you're not, you're going to lose it. Like they say, use it or lose it. So you need to be using that gift that he's giving you. Because of this, I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled on them, which says, in hearing you will hear and no way understand, and seeing you will see yet not perceive. For hardened is the heart of this people, and with their ears, their heart of hearing, and with their eyes, they're blinded, so they should not see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand in their heart, and return and I heal them. He's talking basically about the world, the non-believers. But look what he says to the believers. But your eyes are blessed because you do see, and your ears because you hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous ones desired to see what you see and did not, and hear what you hear and did not. Wow. How many of the apostles would have given their right arm to live in the time we're living in now? To be that last generation. To not just to live in a time for whatever, 60, 70 years, but to actually be here where our bodies will be shed and we're going to go up and meet Yeshua in the air and turn into a spirit being. How many people would have done that throughout the times? And here it is. He says, you know, prophets and kings would have loved to see the things we're seeing and didn't. But we are. We are. The much is given, much is expected, and the more is given, the more is required. And Yahweh is requiring something of us. All we have to do is accept it, embrace it, and go out and do it. It's exciting. It should be the most exciting thing in your life. You know, it is to me because it gives me purpose in my life. This world has no purpose. What's the purpose in this world? You know, you look at all these people. Look at Solomon. One of the saddest books in the Bible, we read it at Sukkot, is Ecclesiastes. Here's a man that was not only the richest man in the world, he was the wisest man in the world. He had everything you can imagine, anything he wanted. And at the end of his life, I want to read his book. You know, is his book like the, you know, Napoleon Hill? Is it going to be one of these things? His book is, boy, it's all vanity. You know, life stinks. That's basically his message. Because his focus wasn't on the kingdom of Yahweh, unfortunately. And there's a good message there. It's actually one of my favorite books because of that. Because it keeps me in line to say, never put your goal in this world. Always keep your focus on the kingdom. Because even if you do live a great life, even if you have a wonderful family, even if you're never sick, even if you're a multimillionaire and can do whatever, you know what's going to happen? The time in this world will run out, like it did on Solomon. It'll run out, sooner or later. And you could live now for the 50, 60, 70 years in time, or you could use this time now to live for eternity. It's your choice. We have free will. What's it going to be? That's what Yahweh does. That's what he's putting before us. Because you think he wants people in his eternal cabinet? You think he wants eternal children that are like nonchalant about what he's given? Like, okay, eternal life. I guess I'll do it. No, he doesn't want that. That's not, he wants people that are zealous. He wants people that are, you know, so excited. People that have joy in their life because of this. That's what he wants. Because they believe in him. Because the joy isn't coming from what we're getting. The joy is coming from what he's giving. And it's showing we believe in him. It's showing that we trust his word. And it's showing that we look at him as a father and we're looking at us as his children. So that's what it comes down to. We're born for this great purpose. We got to fulfill it. Luke 19, parable of the talents. We've heard it many times, but I couldn't give a message like this without going over this because it's all about this. Luke 19. Verse 11. But as they were hearing these things, he spoke, adding a parable because he was near to Jerusalem. And they thought that the kingdom of Elohim was immediately to be revealed. We said that. They thought at that time that that was the last generation, which it wasn't. Then he said, a certain well-born man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. And calling 10 of his slaves, he gave to them 10 minas and said to them, trade and keep busy until I come. But the citizens of the city hated him, he's talking about his Jewish brothers, and sent ambassadors after him, and they were saying, we do not want this man to rule over us. They're still saying it today. And it happened as he returned, having received the kingdom, he even said to those servants to be called to him, those to whom he gave the silver, that he might know what each had gained by trading. And the silver is indicative of the spiritual gifts. You know, he's using that as the gifts that were given from Corinthians 12. And the first came saying, Master, your mina has gained 10 minas. And he came and said, well done, good slave. Because you were faithful in the least thing, have authority over 10 cities, right? The same as his coming. We're going to have authority over not only cities, maybe planets. Who knows? And the second came saying, Master, your mina has gained 5 minas. And he said to this one also, you be over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, behold your mina, which I have stored up in a face cloth. For I feared you because you're a harsh man, taking what you did not lay down and reaping what you did not sow. So here's the guy who had the gift, and out of fear he did nothing, right? Maybe like today, people are fearing the New World Order, they're fearing this, they're fearing that. But fear will immobilize you. Fear is not going to make you go out and work for Yahweh. It's going to do the opposite. So the only fear we should have is fear of Yahweh, not fear of the world. And look what Yahweh says. He says, I will judge you out of your own mouth, wicked slave. You know I'm a harsh man, taking what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. Why did you not give my silver at the bank table? In coming, I might have exacted it with interest, right? So the least you can do, the least you can do, it doesn't take much. I've said that to people sometimes that were living in Babylon that said, you know, you have a house here that's worth like $300,000. If you sell that house and put that money in the bank, you don't even have to work. You could live a modest life. That money could pay your bills. And now you could work for Yahweh full time. That's what Yahweh's saying here. You know, did you even do the minimal? Did you do the least of it? Or are you just not taking it for granted? And to those standing by, he said, take the mina from him and give it to those who have 10 minas. And they said, Master, he already has 10 minas. But he said, to everyone who has it will be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And again, he's talking about the rock. So here it is. But to my enemies who did not desire, that I rule over them, bring them and execute them before me. And again, he's talking about Judah. So We're born for a great purpose, but we must live our whole life to grow in this and bear fruit. We have to. It's not just something that we get emotional about in our tummy. It's something you've got to live. It's something you've got to live and you've got to bear. And it's the greatest feeling in your life. Bearing fruit brings more feeling than anything. Just like in life, if you've ever maybe graduated from a school and you get a diploma, or you went to a program and something happens, or whatever it is, when you accomplish something, there's a good feeling to you. You know, because you've sweated something out, you've done it, you've finished, and now, wow, now you're getting the reward from it. So it's the same way here. When you're bearing fruit for Yahweh, it is the greatest feeling in your life, because you're feeling that, you know, that you are living for the calling in which you were called for. 1 Corinthians 12. And again, like I said, it wasn't silver he's talking about in that parable. He's talking about spiritual gifts that he's given. 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "But concerning spiritual gifts, my brethren, I want to remind you that once you were pagans, and without exception you were led to dumb idols. Because of this, I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of Elohim says Yeshua is a curse, and no one is able to say Yeshua is Yahweh except by the Holy Spirit. And there are a diversity of gifts, but there's one Spirit. And there are a diversity of ministries, yet Yahweh is first. And there are a diversity of powers, but the same Elohim is working all things in all. And to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit as a help to him. For through the Spirit is given one a word of wisdom, another word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And to another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another workings of power. And to another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of languages. To another interpretation of languages. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing separately to each as he wills." Right? So this is what it's saying. That if you're not using these gifts the Holy Spirit is giving you, it simply will diminish. It will come back. We have to take advantage of every opportunity to grow in the gifts that are given and to use them. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. Says, "They will not do evil nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the water covers the sea." The earth will be full of the knowledge of Yahweh. How will that be? When Yeshua returns, probably 96, 97, 98% of the people on this earth are going to be dead. So out of, you know, 8 billion some odd people, even 2% though is still 30 million, 50 million people that are going to be left. And these people aren't going to know what happened. They're not going to understand. You know, most of the world is dead. Nuclear war has come. How are they going to understand by us? We will fulfill the scripture. We are going to go to these places. It says in Isaiah 66, Yahweh will send us to these places, to these hurting people, to comfort them and to start to teach them. You know, there's a king that is here from heaven. Things will be different. So if we do not prepare, we're not going to be ready for that. We will be the ones teaching and re-educating the people of the kingdom. But just like anybody here that's a teacher or ever been a teacher, you know, you don't just go up and start teaching. You know, I didn't just come up and start teaching. Yahweh had to prepare me the way he prepares you. He prepares you for a job, and then you have to fulfill it. Romans 8, last verse we're going to go into here. Romans 8, 14 through 23 says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the children of Elohim. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you see, received a spirit of sonship by which we cry." Like I said, Daddy, Father, Abba. "The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit. We are children of Yahweh. And if children, also heirs, truly heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs of Messiah, if indeed we suffer together, that we may be glorified together. For I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the coming glory revealed in us." Wow, what an understatement. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of Elohim." Creation itself is groaning and waiting for us to get out there and manifest to be what Yahweh created us to be. "For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but through him subjecting it on hope. that also the creation will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of Elohim. All creation will go back to the way it was for our benefit and for our help to teach others. For we know that all the creation groans together and labors in pain together until now. And not only so, but also we ourselves having the first fruit of the Spirit, right? We're not born again, but we have the Spirit in us. Also, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting that sonship, the deliverance from this body. And that's what will happen. We will shed these bodies, we'll be glorified spirit being, and we will be part of the Elohim family. Praise Yahweh for that. Verse 28 says, but we know that to the ones loving Elohim, all things work together for the good of those being called according to his purpose. And he knew them in advance, and he sealed them with the likeness of the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. But whom he marked in advance, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. And that's what's coming when Yeshua returns. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? You know, don't fear the new world order. You know, look out what happens when Yahweh comes with that new world order. If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Truly, he did not spare his own Son, but gave him up on behalf of us all. How will he not freely give all things to us with him? Who will bring any charge against the elect of Elohim? Yahweh is the one justifying. Who is he condemning? It is Messiah who has died, but rather is raised, and also at the right hand of Yahweh, who is also making intercession on our behalf. Who will separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Even as it has been written, for your sake we are killed all the day, we are counted as lambs for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him loving us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor cherubs, nor rulers, nor armies, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other thing created will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh and Messiah, Yeshua, our Master. Yahweh wants a relationship with us. He didn't call us to be slaves. He called us to be children. He wants that relationship. But we have to accept it. We have to grow into it. We're called to be children of the Creator of the universe. Wow, what an incredible human potential. We come from a royal lineage, and we're destined to be priests and kings with Yeshua over the universe. We need to prepare for this great calling now, or we risk losing it if we're not bearing fruit and preparing for our job. This is our amazing destiny. This is our life and our vocation. Not just to be alive, but to live with purpose as a spirit-begotten child of Yahweh and work with him in Yeshua as redeeming mankind back to him and creating more sons of Elohim forever, and to colonize the earth to be as Yahweh has his kingdom in the heavens, like he said in the prayer that Yeshua said. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And we are the ones he's allowing to rule over that colonization. So, what I've been teaching you now in about an hour's time is what I extensively teach for about a month at the Bible school. And it's more than just the teaching, as the ones that were there know. Because I thought about trying to go around to the congregations and teaching this worldwide, which I can't partly, but a big part of it is environment. Like I always say, environment is 90% of the battle. And a lot of what people don't understand, almost like what we were learning last night on that video, how we're being conditioned, how your mind works, it's extremely harder to change when you're in your same environment. By bringing the people in an environment like this, and I've done this program 20-something years, we've had good environments in Israel, but never nothing like this. You know, I mean, we're really out in no man's land. There's nowhere to go, there's no stores to go to, there's nothing to do. So the environment is a big part of it, and the neuroassociative conditioning. Teaching people how to get rid of those old patterns, how to create new patterns, and it takes time. That's why the program has to be a month, you know, sometimes longer than that. And then you've got to continue it on your own. You know, if you don't, you'll go back to the old way again. But like I said, what I've taught here in about an hour is what I teach for a month at the school to help the people fulfill the great human potential that Yahweh's given us. The last thing I just want to say is, you know, people have fear sometimes, and The greatest fear of humans is the fear of death. But death is not the worst thing that can happen to somebody. Death is natural. Death is just the last part of the life cycle. The worst thing, way more than death, is to live life without purpose. That is way worse than death. So, praise Yahweh, we don't have to do that. He's given us a life, and we want to fulfill that life, and we want to fill it to the greatest. So I encourage you from here to go out and fulfill your great human potential. Yahweh bless. Haksameah.